I'm going to take you back to April, John. We're in the waters off the Horn of Africa, and here is U.S. Admiral William Gortney describing the rescue of Captain Richard Phillips from the American-flagged ship, the Maersk Alabama, which had been attacked by pirates.
Snipers positioned on the fantail of the Bain Bridge observed one of the pirates in the pilot house and two pirates with their head and shoulders exposed, and one of the pirates had the AK-47 leveled at the captain's back.
Now, the only one of the pirates to survive that rescue, Abdul Wali Moussay, faces a 10-count indictment, and he'll be arraigned later today. To talk about the first piracy prosecution in the U.S. in more than a century, we have Ron Kuby with us. He's a criminal defense attorney, Air America radio host, and he's been consulting on the case on behalf of the defendant's parents. Thanks for being here this morning.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, what exactly is your consulting role?
Basically, I've been in touch with the Somali community out of Minneapolis, the Somali Advocacy and Justice Center. They contacted me on behalf of the family as soon as Mr. Moussay was arrested, and I've been giving them my perspective on the case, possible defenses, and we also have a legal team that's willing to work should Mr. Moussay make that decision.
And why do his parents need legal consulting?
Well, they're trying to understand what's going on in the American legal system. And even people who have worked in the American legal system for decades frequently have a hard time figuring out what's going on.
Now, you were actually approached to defend Moussay, so
yes.
Why'd you say no?
I didn't say no.
Okay. Tell me what you said.
I'm not going to tell you what I said. I'm not in a position to do that, but I can say that I've been engaged in talks with Mr. Moussay's family about the possibility of representing him in the future. The case
so
is in
he
a very
said
early
no,
stage.
And you wanted to do it?
I haven't met him yet.
Okay.
When he was brought in, remember the way this process goes. He's brought in by the federal authorities, whisked into court, has federal lawyers appointed for him in consultation with the federal judge, and then you have the federal prosecutors, and he goes to a federal jail. He's sort of been in a little isolated bubble after his little excursion on the Indian Ocean.
Now, what exactly, how would you explain the elements of the charge of piracy under the law?
The most important element in the law of piracy, as it's defined by the nations of the world, and that is also the American definition, is that piracy has to be undertaken for personal gain. That is, the actions that are being undertaken, the motivation has to be personal gain. And the reason the law of nations exists that way is that historically, nations have used privateers, if you will, or even in our American Constitution, we have letters of marque and reprisal, where historically, nations and nation states in little groups would use so-called pirates to attack the merchant seamen of their enemies or potential enemies. And those people didn't want to be thought of as pirates.
All right.
The way you became a pirate is if you just keep it for yourself.
Why do I feel like we're walking toward a defense here of, listen, he wasn't doing this for personal gain. He was doing this on behalf of a war-torn country where people are mired in poverty.
Well, because it's probably true. That's one important reason. And the other reason is the prosecution, if they're actually going to proceed with this ridiculous piracy charge.
What makes it so ridiculous?
The prosecution has the burden of proving that he was acting solely for personal gain, rather than to put an end to overfishing in Somali waters, rather than attempting to stop the flow of arms.
If it was about
into
overfishing, wouldn't there have been something said about that during the whole drama that we watched unfold on the high seas?
What do we know that has been said and what hasn't been said? And even if he was acting on behalf of a Somali sort of social welfare group trying to engage in a little bit of wealth redistribution from these giant merchant
ships.
That's
really pretty language for someone having an AK-47 at someone's back.
Well, that guy is dead. Remember, that guy is dead. That was three shots, three dead people, which dramatically escalates, by the way, the level of violence. And now you have the United States, because the pirates, I know we hate them because they've been demonized,
Ron,
they didn't actually kill anybody.
Yeah, but Ron, you know, the thing that, and amplifying what Catherine is saying, I mean, doesn't it make a difference if most of the world learns that they're freedom fighters from you and maybe not from them? Does that make a difference? If like lawyers in the defense team are the ones that are telling us of their cause, that makes a difference versus them actually giving that information out themselves?
Well, they have given. I mean, the people that you want to call the pirates, mm-hmm. generally, have made this point repeatedly. And in fact, I think most people recognize the origin of Somali piracy began when European ships were dumping toxic nuclear waste off Somali waters because there was no functioning Somali government, and ships regularly entered into Somali waters. As recently as a couple weeks ago, Egyptian trawlers went into Somali waters and were engaged in overfishing. So that very much remains an issue. But in the absence of a functioning central government, what you end up having in Somalia are groups, warlord groups, social service groups, Islamic groups, a variety of different groups who indeed prey on one large group of otherwise predatory capitalists. I mean, I know the Maersk Alabama is said to have been containing relief supplies, but it also contained other things.
And
likewise,
we're going to have to contain this conversation right here. But thank you for coming on,
sure,
Ren Kopy.
Thank you for having me.
A criminal defense attorney. He's also on Air America Media.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.